Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. As we begin this first Sunday of 2026, I want us to think about putting first things first. Now is a good time in your life, friends, and a good time in this year to put first things first. And I want to help you to understand what some of those first things are. We're going to look at some first things that are found in the New Testament. You know, when we have to decide what comes first, everybody's got their opinions and ideas and wisdom, but we want to turn to God's Word and get some help from God Himself on what should be first in our life. Maybe you've already been making plans this year to do certain things. A lot of people will go out and buy an organizer or a calendar, and they'll try to get organized, and they want to do this and that in 2026, and all of that's great. It's good to be organized, but we also need to learn how to put first things first, and I hope that our study will help us to do that. Have you been making plans this year to put God first in your life, to change your spiritual relationship with God, to be forgiven of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ? Is that a priority? A lot of times people at this time of the year think about weight loss and getting better organized or stopping some bad habit or starting some new routine that needs to be done, and all of those are great things. But is being right with God and forgiven, is that on the list? It needs to be at the top of the list. So let's look at some first things that are found in the New Testament, and let's help ourselves to put first things first at the beginning of this year. Well, I want to begin with Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He's talking about His Heavenly Father's kingdom, God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Seek that first in your life. He had been talking about not worrying and not being anxious for the basic necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing. God will take care of us in these manners and in these ways. You seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? Just the basic necessities of life. God will make sure you have those things. Put first His kingdom. Kingdom here means God's rule and reign in your heart. It's not talking about an earthly, physical kingdom, but God's rule and reign in your heart, and His righteousness. What He wants you to do to be right with Him, and it's found in the gospel. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power to salvation, and then in the next verse, Paul writes, "Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed." We learn from the gospel how to be right with God, and we need to put that first in our life. His rule and reign in your heart, and His description of what it means to be right in your life. We don't go by what man says or what man thinks, but what God tells us to do to be right with Him. Put that first in your life. Well, there's another first that I want to talk about from the Sermon on the Mount. If you'd like to turn with me just over one chapter, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is talking about judging, and in Matthew 7, verse 1, "Judge not lest you be judged," is probably one of the most popular verses quoted in the New Testament, but misquoted and taken out of context. Jesus is not saying don't ever judge anyone. He's saying take action on your life first, clear up and clean up the things of your life first, and then you can see clearly to help others. So in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5, "You hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. It's perfectly fine to make judgments with the Word of God to help others clear up things in their life. But Jesus is saying, make sure that we clear up our own life first, and that we don't act hypocritically, and we don't make a double standard or use a double standard, judging others in a way that we would not judge ourselves. This is what Jesus is talking about. So when we first get the beam out of our own eye, then we can see clearly to get the mote or the speck out of our brother's eye. So take care of ourselves first. In a similar way, later in the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking about the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. And he makes a similar type of statement there in Matthew 23 and verse 26. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may be clean also. The scribes and Pharisees looked religiously pure and clean on the outside, the way they dressed, the way they talked. Maybe they would walk in the temple, their physical location here and there. But inwardly, they had sin in their lives, and they had hypocrisy in their lives. And so Jesus said that our religion needs to come from the inside out. It starts from the inside out. So clean first the inside of the cup and platter, and the outside will be clean also. He wanted them to have inward moral purity and character and ethics, and it starts there. So that's the first thing. It starts on the inside, and then it shows itself on the outside. So the inside heart and character, making sure that it is right with God by obeying His word, that should come first in our lives. Also, in the book of Matthew, if you'd like to just turn back one chapter, during the same week of Jesus' ministry, and really the same day, he's talking to these Jews in the temple. And in Matthew chapter 22, he was gathered together teaching the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 22, 35, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying or testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And then Jesus goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment. And a second likened unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A quotation from Leviticus 19, verse 18. Jesus goes on to say, on these two commandments, the whole law hangs and the prophets. Loving God with all of our heart and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law hangs on this. In other words, no matter what law you're looking at under the old law of Moses, and he was talking to Jews who were still under the law of Moses, we're not under that today. It's been done away. It's been nailed to the cross. Ephesians 2:14, Colossians 2:14. It's been done away. We're under the law of Christ. Galatians 6:1. But he's speaking to Jews still under the law of Moses, and this is the two commandments. The whole law hangs on that, because the law of Moses can be divided up between laws that have to do with the Jews' responsibility to God, and laws that have to do with the Jews' responsibility to their fellow man. And so loving God, this is first. Well, that principle would still be for us today, even under the law of Christ. It is the first and great commandment to love God with all of our heart. That's where it comes from. That's how we obey all of what God wants us to do, by loving Him first with all of our heart and soul and mind and body and strength. Mark's account adds those others. Our total being, we're going to love God and put God first in our lives. It all flows from there. You get that right first, friend. Loving God with all of your being, the rest of it just falls into place. You'll want to obey the gospel of Christ and be baptized into Christ, and you'll want to live faithfully for Him the best you can each and every day after that. Loving God first, putting God's kingdom first, cleansing the inside, your inner moral character first. This is so important, and we're learning how to put first things first in our life at the beginning of this year. Well, Jesus talks about another first in Luke chapter 14 when he's talking about discipleship and the need to give up and follow him. So Luke 14:27, whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it? Lest haply when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold him begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And then he gives a second illustration of a person going out to war. He first takes into account whether or not he can win this battle. So it's very important to sit down first and count the cost. And being a Christian will have some costs to it. It will have some sacrifices to it. But it's well worth it, not only in this life, but of course in heaven to come. Friend, sit down first and count the cost. And by looking at Scripture, by talking to other faithful Christians, you'll realize it is worth it. It's good for you, for your marriage, for your children, for all of your relationships. It is well worth it. And it's something to sit down and first contemplate and consider seriously. And Jesus says that when we come follow him in John chapter 10, he will give us life and give us life abundantly. It is the greatest life on the face of the earth, the life of serving Christ. And it has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So let's count that cost and put that service and that discipleship first in our life. You know, when you come to the book of Acts and you find New Testament Christians, they've obeyed the gospel and they're living the Christian life, you find that they set aside the first day of the week, Sunday, to come together, to assemble, to take the Lord's Supper and do other acts of worship, singing and praying and taking the Lord's Supper and giving of their contribution and hearing the preaching from the Word of God. Do you put the first day of the week first each week? Today, Sunday, is the first day of the week. Is it a priority in your life? A lot of people think Monday is the first day of the week. It's not. Sunday is. And when we find in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that Paul was traveling and he purposely tarried or waited so that he could be with Christians on the first day of the week to gather with them to take the Lord's Supper, and then he did some preaching before he left them. The first day of the week. In our culture today, Sunday is for you. Sunday is for what you want and your rest and your hobbies and watching TV or sports and having a good time and sitting around the house and taking care of things on the weekend, when in fact we need to be assembling with Christians. That's an obligation, and it's also a privilege that must be done each Sunday to remember the Lord's death in the Lord's Supper, will you put God first and Christ first on the first day of the week? I'm going to spend some time assembling with other Christians. You can do that with Christians at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Be baptized into Christ and each week gather for simple New Testament Christianity. The first day of the week is the day where we put God first. And we need to do that over work and sports and other kinds of things. Put God first on the first day of the week. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, the Christians gave a free will contribution to support the work of the Lord. The first day of the week, it's for God. It's not for us. We have Monday through Friday to work. We need to take a day of rest, and we need to take a day, Sunday, the first day of the week, to remember God's Son. There's plenty of time during the week for you, for your work, for your things. Give God the first day of the week. What a great habit that would be for you and for all of us this year in 2026. Well, Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about a first that I'd like to look at. He describes Christians as the first fruits of the Spirit. This figure is taken from the Old Testament, where the Jews under the old law were to take the first fruits of their crops, the fruit on the trees, the vegetables and the wheat, and the grains, different things that are growing. Bring the first fruit to the tabernacle and then later to the temple as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Give God the first fruit. Give Him the best. Give Him what comes first, and He will provide. It was an act also of trust. God will continue to provide food for you. Bring Him the first fruits that come in the harvest. And so in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul writes, "We who have the first fruits of the Spirit." In Romans chapter 16 and verse 5, talking about New Testament Christians, "Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first fruits of Asia unto Christ." And Paul writes again about Christians in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, that the house of Stephanas, they are the first fruits of Achaia. And the text goes on to say, and that they have set themselves to minister unto the saints. They have set themselves. This is the idea of being focused on and being addicted to ministering unto the saints. They were serving Christ and their brethren. They were giving them the best. James uses this expression in James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of His own will, God's own will, the Father's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. Notice that, the word of truth, not just some inner feeling or what we think or feel, but by obedience to the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And it's found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4 concerning Christians who follow Christ. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. In their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. The first fruits, giving God our best, our mind, our body, our time, our talents, our money, our things, car, home, other possessions. Give that to God in the use of His work and His service and to help others. Be a first fruit. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul speaks of another first that is important. This is a difficult one for many, but it's very important. And that is, when Paul was talking about the Macedonian brethren, he had been there in Acts chapter 16 and 17, the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, Berea, the brethren in Macedonia. They were giving their money to help the needy saints in Jerusalem and Judea. But not only did they give money, but Paul says, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. They gave first their own selves. Wow, what a great gift, the gift of self. And that comes first, even before the gift of money. Again, it's difficult because we live in a very selfish world. We live in a world where people want to put themselves first. But giving ourselves first to the Lord. Paul said, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. We've got to move self out of the way. Self is a good thing. Self is a powerful thing. We have free will, and we have a mind, and we have a heart, and we have a spirit, and it's very good that we have these things. This is what we serve the Lord and others with, but we've got to step aside, as it were, and let the Lord be in the driver's seat and let Him lead the way, and we're going to give ourselves first to Him. Can we do that and be less selfish and more selfless in 2026? Well, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, you find that Paul speaks of a first there that is important. He's talking about, in this context, some young widows, and he's encouraging them to marry and bear children and stay active in the Lord's work. As a young widow, there would be the temptation to be idle and be a busybody and give your life over to the devil, wanton and immoral behavior. And so he's trying to counsel these young women to marry and stay faithful to the Lord. And it's in this setting that Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 11, younger widows refuse. He's talking about not shunning them, but they are not to be enrolled as widows that the local church helps on a weekly basis. That is limited to widows who are elderly and they don't have anybody to take care of them. These younger widows can marry again. And he says, younger widows refuse, for when they have waxed wanton or grown immoral against Christ, they desire to marry. That is, they desire to marry in that wanton state, and that's not a good thing. Having condemnation, because they have rejected their first pledge, literally their first faith. They do not want to serve Christ anymore. They had put their faith in Christ at the beginning, at the first, like we're all supposed to do, but they have rejected that. And they withal learn to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. For already some have turned aside after Satan. That's what we know, what that rejecting their first pledge is the same as turning aside after Satan. They've left their faith in Christ. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the church at Ephesus had left their first love, their first faith and first love. Have a faith in Christ and let that be first in your life. And it's translated pledge here because it's the idea of that first faith where we make a commitment and a pledge and a promise to serve Christ in our life. And that is a good first thing to do. And our first love, Revelation 2:4. Don't ever leave that. Our first love for Christ and our brethren. These are good primary first things that need to be in our life. It holds us together. It guides us in the right way. Let's make that pledge and commitment to Christ today. And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer describes Christians as an assembly and church of the firstborn ones who are enrolled in heaven. Christians are an assembly and a church of firstborn ones. This, again, is a figure taken from the Old Testament, where the firstborn in a family was privileged and got a double portion of the inheritance and a great position in the family. And so when a person is baptized into Christ, they have a great position, not monetarily, not with money, not with power, not with fame, not with prestige, earthly prestige, but preeminence and first place with regard to spiritual privileges, forgiveness of sins and answered prayer and a hope of heaven. We are the firstborn ones, and because of that, great spiritual privileges afford us in the family of Christ. We are children of God. We're in the family of Christ, and each Christian, faithful Christian, needs to remember that they are a firstborn one. And remembering that great spiritual privilege, hopefully we would never leave that and let that go to the world. Never sell our birthright like Esau did, but hold on to our spiritual birthright and understand the importance of being a firstborn one as a child of God. And then last of all, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, John writes about New Testament Christians in the Roman Empire who were persecuted for the cause of Christ, and many of them were killed for the cause of Christ. But when they were killed, they lived on, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is not on the earth. This is not a millennial earthly kingdom, but a reign. And it's called, this is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of a cause. They are living on because they've been faithful. They are around the altar. Revelation chapter 6 tells us that. And they're ruling and reigning with Christ. And John says that when they have the first resurrection, then the second death or hell has no power over them. Friends, put first things first in 2026. And if we can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.